Dear Diary.
Dear Diary.
Dear Diary.
Dear Diary. Today marks a turning point in my life.
After years of keeping everything in, my heart felt like a grenade. It exploded, full force.
I hope this will be the beginning of a new me. After years of simply writing to purge myself of pain, I look forward to sharing my writing.
The first thing that came to my mind when I finished reading the book was the fact that Miss G was right. I did find myself within the pages of the book, like she said I would.
I feel like I finally have a purpose in this class and in life. That purpose is to make a difference and to stand up for a cause. It's one thing for us to write diaries, but if we want to be like the Freedom Writers, we need to take the extra step.
These are the voices of the Freedom Writers, reading excerpts from their stories in the original Freedom Writers diary. Even though 20 years have passed since they graduated from Wilson High School, they haven't lost their connection to their Freedom Writer family. In fact, many of them would say that connection is stronger than ever. In 2009, they gathered to write 10 follow-up stories for the 10th anniversary edition of the book. And now, in 2019, they've gathered again to write 20 new stories celebrating 20 years of this movement. On the eve of this incredible milestone, you and I are on a journey to understand what makes the magic happen. How do Miss G and the Freedom Writers collaborate in the writing process? And is it possible, after all these years, to recreate what happened in Room 203? This is Freedom Writer 2020, a special mini-series on the Freedom Writers podcast celebrating 20 years of the Freedom Writers Diary. I'm your host, Bryce Sirier, and together you and I get a front row seat to the making of the 20th anniversary edition of the book, now available wherever books are sold. We'll hear from Aaron Gruel, the Freedom Writers, and even some of the Freedom Writers' children, following up on the stories from Wilson High School and shining a light on the Freedom Writers' legacy for a new generation. This is episode 2, Writer's Room. So, Aaron, before we take our listeners into that room, before we talk about how you tackled the writing process together with the Freedom Writers, could you talk about carrying on the legacy of the original Freedom Writers, those activists from the 60s? How is that ethos manifest in the Freedom Writers' work today?
So the Freedom Writers have really been this united force, and through those 20 years, the ebb and flow is seeing their tragedies become triumphs. Going off to college, graduating, getting that ideal job, getting married and having children, and then most importantly, following in the footsteps of our namesake, the original Freedom Writers, those iconic civil rights advocates. So Freedom Writers have not lost their sense of advocacy and purpose. They fight the good fight. Whenever there's a tragedy, we rally. Whenever there is a social ill, we rally. And so I love the fact that Freedom Writers have tried to maintain that sense of how do we go to that epicenter after there's a school shooting? How do we speak on issues that not only affect us, but affect our people? Because our people are humanity. And there's a mantra that we believe, and it's hard to hate who you know.
Can you tell me about how you kept that spirit and purpose at the forefront of your minds as you approach writing the new stories?
Even though there's 150 Freedom Writers, what was important was, what are the 20 stories we need to tell on our 20th anniversary? It's not for a grade. It's not for a test. It's not for anything other than proving that words matter, you matter, our reader matters. And so we gathered in the living room of our office. We have an incredible office, which is a home with our theme of families, what we make, and families, what we choose. And week after week, day after day, we wrote. Folks who at one point were shrouded in secrecy with a number were ready to pierce that veil, to step in the light and say, this is my story.
Being around my whole Freedom Writer family, it brings me back like I'm in high school. It makes me feel like a kid again, actually, like a teenager, man.
I was sitting there like a nervous little kid, you know, trying to get ideas and what exactly my topic is going to be.
The onset of us meeting up again, it was like, this is real. Like, we get to speak again. Like, someone else is going to be able to hear our voice from a different perspective.
Now we're seeing it from a different point of view, as adults now, or as parents. And part of it is that through the stories, change some of the negative views of some of the topics and say, you know what, this is the reality of it, and this is how we got to make it better.
This process in the 20th anniversary really was a blank board, canvassing. What did we want to get across this time? What's going on in the world right now? There's still pain there. There's still heartache and having failures, but we were able to overcome.
On this episode, we dive deep into the creative minds of Miss G and the Freedom Writers. How did they organize their ideas, decide on topics and authors, and move the puzzle pieces around to find the bigger picture? How did the Freedom Writers help each other identify and tell their most authentic stories? And beyond that, why does the world need these stories today? In this process, I hope we can discover some insights about how to draw meaning from our real-life experiences. But I have a hunch that there's more to it than following some rote map or methodology. We'll have to explore the connections between the Freedom Writers' original stories and the stories they want to tell today. Between who the Freedom Writers were in Room 203 and who they are still striving to become. All that after the break.
Hello, I'm Erin Gruel, and I'm so grateful for the generosity and support of Waldorf University, our proud sponsor of this exciting miniseries, Freedom Writer 2020. Not only is Waldorf's mission aligned with our student-centered methodology, the Freedom Writers and I are blessed to personally know their passionate educators and respect their commitment to academic excellence. They've hosted me at their esteemed campus, and in turn, we welcome two of their own at our teacher institutes. Dr. Robert Alsop, the university president, and Dr. Frieda Braddock, the program director of graduate education, are both cherished members of our Freedom Writer Teacher Network. We love them like family and trust them to humbly serve their students. I know that many of you listeners are fellow educators. The truth is, as teachers, we spend countless hours and our own resources to serve our beloved students, which leaves little room for advancing our own education. Many of you may want or even need that additional certification or that master's degree, but think, how can I afford the time and the cost? If you're looking for a way to advance in your teaching career without putting your career on hold or breaking your piggy bank, Waldorf University's online Master of Education degree is perfect for you. With two concentrations available, either leadership or teaching and learning, the master's program is completely online with terms starting every single month. That way, you can choose what's best for you and your schedule while continuing to engage, enlighten, and empower your students. To learn more about Waldorf University's Master of Education program, simply go to waldorf.edu/freedomwriters or click on the link in this episode's show notes.
It's a Saturday morning in Long Beach. About 25 Freedom Writers are seated like they're in class again, with Miss G at the front by a giant whiteboard. Papers rustle, fans hum, and the energy in the room is palpable. With such a daunting task ahead, I can only wonder, where do they even start on a project like this?
So we gathered in the living room of the Freedom Writers Foundation, had a huge whiteboard, and we actually went back and reread the Freedom Writers Diary. Collectively, we read our favorite stories, and we looked at tone and tenor and what made us cry and what moved us, and we wanted to have it still be in that diary format. So we dissected those stories. We cried and we laughed and we cheered and started thinking of themes. We had construction paper everywhere, paper and pens and computers, old-fashioned yellow pads and markers, and the brainstorming was brilliant. It was brilliant because we were committed to being collaborators. We were committed to honing our craft.
Initially, it was kind of just, you know, a group of us shooting ideas of what should be covered in the story. And everybody has a different opinion.
Latia, what were some of the topics the group discussed?
Like immigration, racism, you know, definitely something that's prevalent right now. There's divorce now. There's still pain there. And knowing that family members still disappoint you, you know, triumph. It is a world of uncertainty, but the stories being shared in that room really showcase what's happening around America today and around the world.
The whiteboard gradually becomes a spider web of colors. Purple lists and orange notes all connected by black bubbles and blue lines.
We used the sandwich analogy. When I taught Freedom Writers initially to write, we didn't just talk about a thesis and a conclusion. We used a sandwich, bread and meat and all the fixings. So every time we gathered, I created a spread with meat and cheese and fixings and bread.
And we approached writing this book as the most delicious sandwich. Every single story had to be that sandwich. Every single story had to be meaty. And we tried to determine what is the meat of a story. And then we took those stories as a backdrop of what was happening in the world, in our America. When we turned on the news, when we read those headlines, the concept of it bleeds, it leads. Could we tell happy stories while still sharing our painful past? Could we take that painful past and make it our purpose and our passion of today? And so we looked at issues that were relevant, whether it was Black Lives Matter, mass gun shootings, young children being taken away from their mothers at a border, a hashtag, a movement, a bully at a bully pulpit. And what we try to do is craft stories of today that our readers of today understand, have lived, are grappling with, and still growing.
What were the interactions between the Freedom Writers like?
Freedom Writers can finish each other's sentences. Freedom Writers can anticipate what the other person's going to say. And so there was some lobbying in that very room of some of the storytellers, specifically the storytellers in the 10th anniversary edition. Those storytellers from the 10th anniversary edition were the first to humbly step aside and say, I had a chance to write a second story. I want somebody new who wrote their story their freshman year, their sophomore year, junior, or senior in high school to be the storyteller 20 years later. And so that was really exciting and humbling to watch how lovingly the Freedom Writers said, I'll step aside, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be in the trenches. I'm going to be in this room. I'm going to stay up late. I'm going to edit. I'm going to advocate. I'm going to hold your hand if necessary.
At the beginning, I feel like it's incredibly difficult because you're not telling some random story about some character somewhere. Like, you're telling people's lives. You're telling an important story, an important part of somebody's life, something that changed the way they feel, the way they see the world.
This is Tony, one of the Freedom Writers who wrote for the 10th anniversary edition and signed on to support the 20 new story ideas.
I think that we do have an advantage in that we know each other. We know our stories. I helped to edit the story about immigration, and it's not just a story about immigration. You know, the little girls that asked their dad, you know, are they going to take mom away? Like, those are my little nieces. Like, I love those little girls. They call me Uncle Tony. These are our family member stories.
I start to realize how central the relationships are to this creative process. One might think this deeply emotional element could be a hindrance, but with the Freedom Writers, it's the very heart of the whole endeavor.
It was interesting to go through the process of everything. It was a little bit more touchy, made you deal with emotions you don't want to deal with as a couple and as a family, just coping with everything that was coming up. Putting on paper some of the things that my daughters had said and what were their worries as little kids. You know, my oldest is 14, my youngest is 3. So even though at those young ages, they understand what's going on in this country and how our leaders are affecting everybody, including families. You know, it was kind of a tug of war. What should be on there? What shouldn't be on there? My wife wasn't comfortable with certain things, but it got to the point where she realized that it's not only our story, but a lot of people in the community are going through the same exact thing we are. Different situations, but we're on the same struggle, trying to figure out how to get to the next day. You know, worrying about what are you going to do if I shows up? I mean, you're seeing that on the media right now. You know, seeing parents taken out of their cars or out of their houses, kids crying. I mean, you put yourself in their shoes. What if that happens to me? You know, that's the thing that worries you. But I mean, with the stories, just mainly just give hope and say you're not alone.
So the Freedom Writers aren't just committed to writing about current issues. They're doing the profoundly personal work of showing how their experiences can speak to those issues.
It's interesting that in the 12-step program that I'm involved with, we definitely focus on identifying our defects. And it was similar to the process of picking out what we're going to write in this story. What are the things that have been challenges or barriers for you during your life growing up? You know, whether it's being biracial, whether it's feeling left out, being excluded, the problems with your family life. And it's just somewhat cathartic to put these things on a board and to really bring them to light, because shame, I feel, is one of the biggest things in our lives that hold us back. So to be able to say these are the things that not only you're experiencing, but to acknowledge that so many people in the world are experiencing these same things, you're dropping off all that emotional baggage, all of those things that you felt you were unworthy for. We were able to say, look, let's write about this. Let's bring them into the light. And not only will it help you as the writer, but we will have the opportunity to help thousands of people that read our books.
I did write a story, but I couldn't have it published. I wasn't ready to talk about it.
You remember, Brenda, from episode one? She told us that her story was not published in the original Freedom Writer's Diary in 1999.
I wasn't ready 15 years ago. I wasn't ready 10 years ago, but I'm ready now. So very excited, very emotional about it. I can now freely talk about what I wanted to talk about for so long.
What was holding you back from being ready to share that story?
Well, guilt. I felt like I was going to hurt a lot of people. I was the one that was hurting for so long, and I think that now it is my therapy, it is my story, and no one can tell me no. Again, I'm ready. I'm ready to talk about it, and I'm ready to expose those who hurt me for so long, and I'm ready to forgive them.
In whatever detail you're comfortable with, would you like to share what your story is about?
It is a story about my mother and her abuse toward myself and my siblings. It was years and years and years of abuse, years of manipulation, years of making us feel guilty and making us feel like we were bad daughters, my sisters and I. And she has yet to apologize. She has yet to admit to any of her wrongdoings. And I realized as she's laying on her deathbed that I will never hear her say, I'm sorry. I will never get that apology.
What was the biggest challenge for you going through this process?
It was hard. We had a few meetings before I even was able to talk about it. I started to write about it from the beginning. I knew I needed to write the story about my mother. And I started writing it. But I couldn't talk about it. I couldn't openly talk about it. And one day I was so emotional, I walked out. And one of the other Freedom Writers came running after me. And she said, you need to do this for yourself and for your kids, for your children. You deserve this. They deserve this. You need to let it go. This is going to help you. This is going to be your therapy. We're here for you. We're your family. No judgment. And that's when I decided, okay, it's my turn. It's my time. They helped me lift that blindfold off. Writing the story has made me forgive her. I forgive her, although I'm never going to hear her say I'm sorry. I don't need to hear it. And I can finally move on.
Just as Miss G fostered an environment in room 203 that helped her students feel safe, safe to share their raw, often painful stories, the Freedom Writers are now working together to create that same kind of space. As Brenda's experience demonstrates, they seem even more supportive and more open to vulnerability than ever. We can see that this level of love and support is key for them to be able to address even the most sensitive issues. Today, I'm meeting with Erica. Her story in the original book became the benchmark for Freedom Writers speaking out against injustices. Before there was a hashtag, before there was a movement, there was Diary Number 62.
Diary Number 62 is about my sexual abuse experience with my uncle, someone who I considered my best friend, my hero, a confidant. I mean, he was so wonderful, and then one day, he destroyed that. So it's about broken trust and lost innocence.
My relationship with Uncle Joe has never been the same because there was no relationship after. When I was that little, I didn't know that you could call the police and report someone for sexual abuse. I didn't even really know that it was called sexual abuse. I just felt like he was doing things he wasn't supposed to. A few years later, I find myself in room 203 at Wilson High School, and here I am writing a story. When I wrote it, I really didn't think this was something that happened to everyone, so there was a bit of shame there. For a long time, I hid behind the number 62, and I didn't want to put my face to the story. And I did that because, at first, selfishly, I didn't want to be that girl, that face to that story. And now, I'm not ashamed of it. I put my face to it. I own it. It's my story. It's all of our stories.
We wanted to pay homage to her for being able to go to that very dark place and shed light. And through the last 20 years, it's been a very difficult healing process. But we asked her to sit down and write the new story. What has happened since you wrote? What has happened in all those years since? Now you're a mother, and now you have a son who is the exact same age you were all those years ago when that tragedy happened to you. And she did.
Ms. G had approached me sometime last year about the possibility of new stories being added to the 20th anniversary. And I wasn't sure what else there was to say, really. But sometime last year, I had come in contact with Uncle Joe's son, which was mind-boggling, scary, empowering all at the same time. One common question that came up with diary number 62 is, you know, whatever happened to Uncle Joe? And so I felt like I could give it some closure now that I was in contact with his son and we talked about the book and we talked about the abuse and his relationship with him and so forth. For me, I felt like I had come full circle. I had started with Uncle Joe, wrote the book. Now I'm talking to his son and we're very, very close, actually. I think the world needs the story today, not just the 20th anniversary, but also diary number 62, because it's been 20 years. It was happening then and nobody talked about it. And it hasn't stopped. There's still that stigma. You know, I don't feel like people are feeling safe enough to talk about it, and it continues to happen, and something needs to be done to correct it. I am finally in a place where I can say I'm proud of myself for having written it back then and having the courage to do it, as scary as it was. And I feel like for the 20 of us that wrote the new stories, it was empowering in the sense that we continued to stick together as a family, as freedom writers. I think the 20th edition will show the world that we continue to overcome adversity, overcome trauma, overcome fear. We're here and continue to survive.
I hope the reader can take away from our stories that resiliency is always the number one key with the Freedom Writers. We're always going to break to the top no matter what. We're all going to fall, but life still goes on. There's still hope in our life if we're actively working to have our families be successful, have the Freedom Writer legacy continue. It's priceless. It's a priceless gift that you can't buy in the store. It has to come with experience. It has to come with love. And it definitely has to come with nurturing.
We're all a family and we all help out each other. And not only, you know, do you have collaboration, but you also have the emotion that comes with it. You know, when people who are helping you, you know, love you and are there for you, I mean, it just makes it that much better.
I wish people could have been a fly on the wall. I wish we could have had hidden cameras. I wish people could have felt the love and seen the tenderness with Kleenex being passed around. I wish people could have watched the moments of divinity. It was exquisite. It was absolutely exquisite. It is what love looks like. It's what the world should look like. I wish every single person could experience what I experienced in that room. It was like this cocoon. It was this safe place because we were there in the moment, but we were going forwards and backwards and every direction in between. I would have never envisioned this in my wildest dreams when I walked into room 203 all those years ago, that my students would continue to be writers. Writing because it matters. Writing because they want someone else to write what they need to write. And then as these stories continue to evolve, there are more stories to write.
So how do Miss G and the Freedom Riders collaborate in the writing process? They embrace vulnerability. And is it actually possible, after all these years, to recreate what happened in room 203? I think we can all see and feel that it's a resounding yes. There's something inexplicably beautiful about this delicate dance between individual and collective creativity. It brings them together, it fuels their process. It's intimate, meaningful, empowering, and it's only the beginning. Aaron and the Freedom Riders selected the topics, they chose the authors, they started writing, and now to rewrite and edit and figure out the sequence of stories as they'll appear in the new edition of the book. There's more work ahead, but they know that just means more growth. That concludes episode 2 of Freedom Rider 2020, a special mini-series on the Freedom Riders podcast celebrating 20 years of the Freedom Riders Diary. You can now find the brand new 20th anniversary edition of the Freedom Riders Diary anywhere books are sold. On behalf of Aaron Gruel and all of the Freedom Riders, I sincerely invite you to get your new copy of the book today. These 20 new stirring stories from Aaron Gruel and the Freedom Riders are authentic and personal, while addressing the most urgent and impactful issues in the world today. This episode was executive produced by Aaron Gruel, co-produced by Rob Falk, and written, produced, and edited by me, your host, Bryce Cyrier. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, I hope you'll share it with someone you know and love. And if you haven't yet, please subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review in whichever podcast app you use. It'll help more people find the show. Remember to stay tuned for our next installment of Freedom Rider 2020, available tomorrow morning, September 5th. In the meantime, dear listeners, may you write what needs to be written and tell what needs to be told.